Hey, I'm Dean Blandino, and as a newly minted Detroit Lions fan, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast, episode 277. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case and the Riz. What a great week this is again. The three boys are back in town. Three Musketeers, is it? I don't know. Maybe three idiots? I don't know. We'll let the audience name it.
Boys are back in town is good because it is actually Phil Lynott's birthday, the late great Phil Lynott of Din the Z. The boys are back in town. There you go.
Wow. Tie
that up. It's somebody else's birthday too, isn't it?
Is it?
It might be. I got the big 3-5 today. That was perfect timing.
That was fantastic. That was my son. He is in the crowd for the Houston Rockets game. He is a big Rockets fan, and they apparently just did something very good towards the end of their game against the Thunder.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, congratulations on making yet another birthday, Case. I know 10 years ago you never thought you would, but here you are, right?
Yep.
Really, really good stuff. Glad to have you. All right. We got a lot going on. Today's show, Jim Brandstatter is going to join us, former voice of the Lions, current voice of the Michigan Wolverines, 60 years in a row on the radio or on the football field. This guy has been kicking it live for a long time. We're going to have him on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about college ball, a little bit about the Lions, the NFL, what's the effect, because there's a lot of intertwined little things here. So we'll talk about that with him. We're going to take you the latest in training camp news. The pads are on. There's a lot to talk about. Our shiny new cornerback, our new running back. How are these toys working? How are our old toys working? Oh, we've got it for you. We'll let you know. And we're going to take a look at the team and the outlook of the NFC North in general. What does that mean for the team, the coaches, the all that stuff? I don't know. It's a great show. Got a great show lined up. Case, Riz, you boys ready to go?
Sure am. I even put a shirt on over my birthday suit for you.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
Shirt on over the birthday suit. Well, we appreciate that. So it's just hands-free
only. Oh, yeah.
All right. Make sure to check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Very special thanks to Dylan from
Gold Bomber.
Very good. Very good. We got, of course, Mathis, big-time first donor, Brian B., I Prevail, and all the big happy folks who help us out. You can join them at patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Support the show. Help us pay for all the things that we do. And you get sweet access to the Slack chat, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet, the most intelligent beer chat on the internet, the most intelligent stocks chat, because it's a gambling channel, the most intelligent dumb F's chat. It is the best chat on the internet. It has all kinds of different channels and topics from some pretty sharp folks. As little, you know, credit as I love to give Wisco and as much hard time as I like to give him, he's got the house flipper, house repair stuff. His number one recommendation is cut the joists. You don't need them. He's a great guy. Join the crew. Little as a dollar a month will get you access to that, and it helps support the show and all the stuff we do. We appreciate all of you Patreon people. Did you guys hear the thunder just now? We got a huge storm rolling through. It's that. We also got a hurricane that's supposed to be, or a big storm right now. Maybe a hurricane. It's supposed to be here Tuesday at 8 a.m. We'll see how that goes. It's the season. Give us a like on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. On Instagrammer, Detroit Lions Podcast. And on Twitter, @DETLionsPodcast. Give us that follow. DET Lions Podcast is the best place to get all the information about the show. And see Case.
Trying to remember not to stand up during the show.
All right. Let's see. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. All the great stuff is there. You'll get notified when we go live, whether it's our weekly show, our post game show, or whatever. Get in there. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, a whole world of things. All the places where you go. This place is rumbling pretty hard. All that stuff's available for you. So go there. Give us a 5-star review when you're there. Let folks know how much you love the show and how great it is. And if you've got, you know, some constructive criticism, hit us up in the subreddit chat. We're happy to talk to you about that and help make the show better. It is the community show. So take some ownership. What are you doing over there just sitting listening? Give us a call via Skype. Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word. Detroit Lions Podcast. Or call us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. 929-335-4667. Leave yourself a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. How about that? Okay, we're going to start off first. It is Case's birthday. Riz and I are just horrible singers. There's nothing we can do about it. So after our next segment, if you want, feel free to call. Sing happy birthday to Case if you'd like to wish him any kind of well wishes. He's open to it. Remember, he's sitting there with no pants on. He's ready for you. So feel free to call after the segment. Let's get into that segment right now. The thing that spurred this for me, it's Jim Brandstatter, wanting to call him, wanting to bring him on. He had a great post on Facebook this afternoon, and I just had to call him. He's talking about what the whole Big Ten cancellation means, what it means to him, how it affects him, the student athletes, the coaches, and the whole thing. And I was like, Jim, can we get you on? This is a big thing. Would love to have you weigh in on it. And Riz said, I don't know, Chris, you sound like an idiot, but we did it anyway.
It's great to get Brady, an old friend of the show, friend of the draft party. Was that 2 years ago he was there?
Yeah.
Michigan football alum, All-American from, I think it was 1972, I want to say, and part of the Lions broadcast crew for a long time and still part of the Michigan crew. So who better to talk about? And his post on Facebook, you should follow him on Facebook. He posts a lot of really cool stuff on there. And this one was definitely worth reading because it offered a lot of, You felt a lot of Jim in it, and I'm sure that we want to talk to him about that too, but it was very heartfelt and earnest and well thought out.
Definitely want to feel a lot of Jim. All right, let's give him a ring. Let's just do that without being horrible people. I'm not necessarily as good at that as I used to be. All right, here we go.
Hello.
Mr. Brandstatter.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing? It's Chris, Case,
Chris.
And Jeff. Yep. How you doing, bud?
Good, thanks. You?
Good. Thanks for taking our call today. Love to have you on the show all the time. You've got your own show to do, don't you?
Well, yeah, I'm done. I'm editing. I've got that show done, so I'm kind of waiting for your call.
That's great. Just, you know, to make everything, you know, full transparency, when I called Jim today, he was in the middle of recording a show, and I gave him a whole bunch of editing work to do because of the beeps on the call in the background. So I'm sorry, man.
Life goes on. You know, broadcasting, that's the way it is.
Yes,
especially
sir.
These days with all the, social distancing and doing everything from home. It's been a whole new world.
Yeah. We're all learning and feeling something different. I wanted to hit you. You know, I told you earlier it was the post. Boy, what a great post on Facebook, and we were just talking about it and told everyone follow Jim Brandstatter. Some of the greatest, you know, your trips around Michigan, your photography, great stuff. But today's was really, really hard hitting because it's so topical about what's going on. And I just
took me a while. Yeah. I didn't want to, you know, at first I'm like, I should post something about this. And I said, you know, sit back and cause I, you know, it's like, you're mad, you're frustrated, you're all that, but yeah, so just get your shit together and, you know, kind of figure it out. And that's kind of where I came out with what I decided to say.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, and I don't want to take away from the post, but do you mind maybe just kind of summarizing it for folks right now, just so they can kind of get a sense of where your head was at and what you were sharing?
Sure. Basically, it's a cataclysmic event in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been nearly 60 years since I haven't been involved in football in September in some capacity as a player, broadcaster, covering it, whatever. And so, yeah, I wanted to kind of put it in perspective. And the perspective is, the reality is that if someone comes up and says, the reason we're doing this is for the health, well-being, and safety of the student athlete, you can't literally argue with that.
No.
I mean, that's what all of us want, right? And so that's understandable. I get that. But the problem is, I also know from the other side that the hopes and dreams of young men who have put in tremendous amounts of time and effort, physical effort and mental effort, to be prepared to play this season, to be at the top of their game, to be at their physical and mental best that they've ever been in their lives, and then to have that taken away is just heartbreaking. And those are the kids that I feel for. You know, because I was there, and golly, I don't know how I would have taken it. So, and the process, in my opinion, was very cumbersome, and it didn't address, I think, who you had to address. The coaches have done everything that they could possibly do. They've gone through all the hoops and made sure the kids were as safe as they could possibly be in that bubble that the athletic department would provide them. And when the decision is made, it's made by a bunch of administrators who have never even visited the places and have never even talked to or discussed their options with the players and coaches. That was where my point was, that it's so unfair in so many different ways, and yet, you know, it's erring on the side of safety and health. And yet it's very, very tragic in many ways for those young people and the coaches that are involved, that, you know, have spent a great deal of their lives preparing for this.
And you talk about the real dichotomy here, in that the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 are still going forward with their seasons. And now all we're going to have to work with is hindsight to kind of figure out who was right. And if everything works out great, it's like, oh, now we're mad, you know, we're extra mad at the Big Ten, right? But everything goes wrong.
Somebody in December is going to be a big winner and a big loser. There's going to be no in-between on this one. Because if they play, and they play a full season without any issues, no stoppages and no spikes in the virus, then the Big Ten is going to look bad, even though they have the cover of saying, we felt it was in the best interest of our players' safety and well-being to do this. But if somebody else does it and doesn't have a problem, then the Big Ten is going to look bad. And on the other hand, if the SEC or ACC and Big 12 have spikes and they have to cancel or postpone and, you know, have an up and down season where they've got real problems with this, then the Big Ten is going to look really smart. But I don't think, like you just said, there's going to be any in between, given what hindsight is. And we're going to look back on this in December and say, who won, who lost? And there won't be a tie. It'll be somebody won it and somebody lost it.
Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead, Case.
Well, I was just going to ask about, okay, so there's been a lot of talk about the possibility of playing football in the spring for some of these schools. And I, you know, there's lots of positives and negatives that could come from that. You could save a season for players, but you're also pushing them up against playing again immediately in the fall, whether that be in college or in the pros. And do you think that's a viable option?
I do. It would not be, I don't think, in the spring. If you play, it can be a 10-game season.
Sure.
I think you have to modify it to some degree. Look, they already practice and play in the spring. And they have 15 padded practices. So to suggest, and again, I mean, they probably take better care of if a little injury in the spring that, you know, wouldn't keep a person out of a game in the fall might keep a player out of a practice or a scrimmage in the spring. So, yeah, there is a difference there. But you could put a spring season on steroids where, for instance, in the Big Ten, you have two divisions of seven teams. You play your divisional opponents only. And normally in the fall, you have three padded practices during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then you play the game. In spring football, you were allowed 15 padded practices. So if you played six games, you'd have 18 padded practices and six games in pads. So that'd be 24 total padded practices or padded events in football. Mm-hmm. And then you would basically close it out in the end of April. And then you would go back to your normal schedule and have off-season workouts and then come back in August and start a season in September. It wouldn't be that much different than a normal spring football. That's my take on it, but it's pure speculation on my part. I think coaches want to have more games. I think that would be maybe meet your point about the ability to recover. I think a shorter season, a shorter group of games in the spring is probably more workable. But again, speculation on my part. That's all up for grabs. I'm sure they've got all kinds of people looking at the scenarios right now.
Yeah, the spring football, I don't think a lot of fans understand how big and intense and how massive of an undertaking that has become at the college level. So I think you're right on there, Jim, that's they will work it. I agree with you on that.
Well, I had a question. You're right about the massive undertaking, because let's face it, in the spring is where they determine who's going to play in the fall in most cases.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you get the spring game is – it's
right.
Crazy.
That sets your lineup. Other than a few freshmen who might come in late and really flash early in the fall, but that spring is vital to where you're going to be when you start football in September.
Yeah. I had a question for you about the Big Ten came out with a revised schedule where they were only going to play other Big Ten schools about a week before they pulled the plug. That was something that really bothered me personally, and I know that it bothered a lot of people around here. I'm living in Michigan. Can you walk me through your thoughts on what kind of, I don't know, how screwed up that is, basically?
Well, it bothered me, too, and that's part of this whole deal of how the whole thing was handled. I mean, you say, okay, we're going to put out a schedule, and the Big Ten obviously had agreement and cooperation from the rest of the conference schools, because you had Michigan and Ohio State playing in October. So clearly they were aware, and they had talked to their member institutions, said this is what we're going to do. So clearly they had contact. They made the schedule up. They were going to start in early September, and most everybody felt they were going to start in late September. Well, that was a surprise. They're going to start early September. And then 6 days later, they pulled the plug. It gave everybody false hope, in my opinion. And in my opinion, the presidents should have been advised or something ahead of time that they were going to release the schedule. Because if they were going to go 6 days later and say, no, we're not going to play it, you wouldn't have released that schedule. It's like the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. And that's, to me, what was so cumbersome and unwieldy about how this whole thing was handled. Very poorly, in my opinion, and that announcement of that schedule was the beginning of it. That schedule's fine if they don't cancel everything. But yeah. Then all of a sudden, 6 days later, they do. It's like, hey, wait a minute. What were you doing a week ago? What happened to a week ago? What happened in between? And we haven't really gotten, I don't think, a definitive answer on that.
And it's like the only good excuse there is a significant shift in the data about COVID cases or, you know, death rates or something. And it seems like we would all heard about that, right? It's something to make that big of a change in that short of a time. Seems like we would all been pointing at it and saying, oh yeah, that's the right thing to do. But to come out of the blue like that is just simply, it's confusing for everybody. And then for us, confusion always leads to frustration.
Exactly. No, and I agree with you.
A lot.
I agree with you that what happened, And nothing cataclysmic happened. So, and then the other thing is what bothers us is when you ask a question, you don't really get an answer.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Big Ten has been trying to recover from, that Commissioner Warren really, in many instances, hasn't had. I thought the guy from the Pac-12 and the Big 12 handled it better than Warren did. In giving a chapter verse kind of reasoning health-wise why this was done. We, at the Big Ten level, I don't think we got that.
Yeah. What do you think, because now the effect here is so huge. It looks like the NFL is still going to play. And you have a bunch of kids, seniors in particular, who would would I play if I was a senior with a possible draft, you know, decent draft position? Probably not. Knowing that I have to play again in the fall with the NFL, I'm not certain that I would. This really shuffles things up, plus with the draft happening. What do you think the effect is if they decide to go with spring ball only on the NFL draft?
Well, I think that you're not going to have the same team that you would have had in the fall line up in February. Jalen Mayfield, for instance, for Michigan, has already indicated that he would, you know, forego a spring season and go directly to preparation for the NFL draft, which would mean, you know, Michigan in the spring would not have any returning offensive linemen that started a year ago. So that would be, I mean, I think, and Jalen, I think, has made that determination already. Mm-hmm. So, and that's not just at Michigan. Justin Fields down in Ohio State might very well feel the same way. So that's the effect it would have, that you would walk into the spring with probably not the same lineups and some of your better players that were in your upper classes than you would in the fall, than this year. So that's the effect I think that you'll have in a spring season. The thing that I don't think will make a difference is, look, we're going to be all-star for football. And if you're walking out there and you're wearing the winged helmet and you're playing a team wearing an opposing helmet, it's not spring ball. It's a real game.
Yep.
You're going to still watch. And the players may be different. They are every year, really. The players may be different. It'll be odd. But I think people will still get behind the games and get behind the kids, no matter who plays.
What do you think of the idea of moving college football as a whole to spring, just so us fans can have more football in the year? Yeah, they'd have to shuffle up the draft. Yeah, they'd have to do so much. But as a fan, I just can't get enough football. Am I insane?
I'm waiting. You're way out of. I mean,
you can tell him he's nuts. It's okay.
I'm a blithering idiot right now because I can't even imagine that. I would not even imagine that.
I've found Jim at a loss for words.
You have put me over the edge. They've tried spring ball, and, you know, for USFL, the XFL, all of this old stuff. You know, I love football too, but I also love the other seasons, and I think football has a great niche.
Yep.
You know, that you start that September and there's that chill in the air and the leaves start changing, and that's football season. To me, spring is when you play the Masters. And I've never felt that it fits in the spring. And spring practice for colleges, while that's exciting, it's a preparatory thing. It's not the finality of having a season and a game. And then in January, you go to the warm climate with your reward of a bowl game. That's, to me, what college football what should be.
I don't disagree at all.
That's just my personal thing. I don't think it's. And besides that, if you tried going year round, you wouldn't have enough guys the next fall to play. It's a hard game to play. It's physically very demanding.
But that's my thing. I ask absurd questions sometimes just to make sure that, you know, we've looked at all the angles.
I don't think
everything's great, covered.
Yeah, what is that great quote? There isn't an absurd question, just an absurd answer, I guess.
Until Chris asks it, then it's all bets
Whoa.
Are off.
we're bringing out the heavy stuff early.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you about Mayfield a little bit, since he did officially declare that he is going to leave? What do you think of him as a NFL prospect?
Very good one. I think that his game last year against Ohio State and Chase Young was a great indicator of how good he was. I think Chase Young was a factor in that game, but not nearly the factor that I think a lot of people thought he was. And I think part of that was because Jalen Mayfield rose to the challenge. That will be a tape that a lot of NFL scouts look at and say, yeah, how good is this guy? Let's put him up against one of the top draft picks in the NFL draft and see what he does. And that's a 60-minute game that he really, I would think, graded out pretty well at.
Awesome.
I know I liked what I saw. He looked very, very good in that game. Looked like his feet were just much more seasoned than a guy who only played 1 year. He looked really good.
I think you're right. I think you're right. He would have, I mean, I think this year would have been a great year for him to, you know, solidify that status as a real first round type of draft pick in the offensive line, right or left tackle. But I think he's got a great piece of tape on that game against Chase Young against Ohio State.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that's probably going to have, you know, a lot of scouting is going to be year-old scouting on players. And this time off, there's one of the big risks is, you know, you have a lot of players, great players, who are absolutely devoted to the game. But every now and then, you get the characters, and we've talked about it a little bit on this show. We're nervous about the NFL year. There's a couple guys who, hey, maybe they ordered out a little bit too often and worked out in a little less often than they used to. And they maybe aren't as quick or light or as fast on their feet as they used to be. And the data we have on these guys is a little bit older. So a lot of it relies on their ability to keep up in at home and you know, in a socially distant location, to be able to keep playing the game. But that lack of recency in the data set that they have on these guys is definitely going to have an effect.
Especially in competition and game type, you know, situations. You've heard people say big time players play their best games against, you know, big time opponents, and pro scouts like to see that too. When the microscope is on, when the bright lights are on, who is going to step up and say and perform well, and who's going to kind of cower in the corner from the big stage, and you can tell a little bit of that from some of these guys. But they also, and this will be something that I'm sure that the NFL particularly will work on, is they're going to sit there and they're going to figure out a way to evaluate these guys, whether it's an extra combine or more people being invited to a combine or more opportunities for on-campus workouts where, you know, the NCAA says, okay, you've got an extra 5 days or whatever your pro day is, you can make it 2 or 3 pro days, mm-hmm. to give the pro scouts more opportunity to look at those players. Because ultimately, let's face it, college is a place where you're getting ready for your next opportunity in life, whether it's a career opportunity. You go to class to work on a possibility of a career. Well, some of these guys in football have the opportunity to have a career in the professional ranks. Not everybody. But those that are should be given the opportunity by the colleges to make their audition tapes as good as possible so that they can have the best opportunity at a career going forward. So I think the NFL will find a way to get the latest information. These guys this year that are going to miss this season are going to be missing they're going to be missing some the analogy might be a few final papers that they would be able to submit to the National Football League. But the NFL is going to know who can play and who can't. They'll figure out a way. And the kids that are the best that are going to move on, I think will have the opportunity to move on.
I wanted to ask you about the other end, the players coming in. We are not having high school football in Michigan this year, which is a great disappointment to my son, who is going to play freshman football this year.
A lot of
really good prospects. My local high school, Zeeland East, has two of them that are going to be Division I players. What do you think is going to happen with the juniors and seniors in high school now who are moving up to that next level or aspiring to move to the next level if they're playing in the spring or not playing? How much do you think that really sets them back, and what do you think the programs are going to do about that?
I think that's really problematic, more so than it is at the pro level. Because at the collegiate level, you got to look at basically, if they don't play this year, okay, then you got to look at them as a junior. And the thing that can happen in high school, you know this as fathers, you have growth spurts in kids from junior to senior year, can grow and get bigger, and they become from a MAC prospect to a Big Ten Division I prospect in a year based on, you know, their growth pattern and things. So, you know, it's going to be tougher, I think, in that regard without a senior season in high school for the college coaches to identify some of the guys that I think they feel can help their program. Now, believe me, these kids have been recruited through their junior years. They know who the juniors are, who would be seniors this year. They know they are, but it's the guys that, you know, were just developing as juniors who needed this senior year to put the finishing touches on them. Okay. Excuse me for a second. To put the finishing touches on themselves in that senior season that are going to be the ones that may fall through the cracks. That's going to be hard. That's going to be tough. Because those kids that needed the senior year in high school to finish off their resume, if you will, for the collegiate level, aren't going to have that opportunity. And that, and to be quite frank, that's, you know, there are a lot of guys that, you know, show up, as you know the Division I guys when they're juniors, but there's some yes. guys that senior year just blossom and they become Division I players in that last season. Those are the ones that I feel bad for and I worry about that aren't going to get the opportunity that they probably should have.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. This thing has affected so many different things along the way. But these poor kids, their windows are small. The tape you get is not a lot, and they need to make use of every moment. And for that to be stolen away from is really a tough story for
them. Yeah, it is. And then again, you talk about a kid at the collegiate level as a career, and you talk about a young man at the high school level. Mm-hmm. It may be losing a full grant scholarship. Yep. Which puts his parents in a bind from a standpoint of getting him into school and maybe having to pay that first year of tuition when he has the opportunity to be a quote-unquote preferred walk-on before he's awarded a scholarship. Right. So there's a lot of ramifications to this stuff, big time.
But those guys messing up the schedule are still getting paid, aren't they, Jim?
They get a 5% discount pay because of the COVID. But guess what? Their check is bigger than yours and mine combined.
Yeah, yeah. That's a topic for another call, Jim. I will tell you what, though, we absolutely miss you. It's a tragedy we're not going to have you on Michigan Games this year. You know, Dan is great. Lomas is fine. We really miss you on the Lions broadcast, Jim. You've been such a long time, you know, staple of the show. It still comes up on the subreddit. It comes up on the show talking about you. We miss you dearly on those broadcasts.
Well, thank you for all the years you've given us. I thank you very much. Everybody that calls and asks about me, that I'm doing fine, and I miss it too. The life in broadcasting is the life in broadcasting. And as Shem Beckler used to tell us, when somebody throws you a curve, you touch you and you move forward. That's what we're doing.
Yep. Yep. No, you and Robbie look to be having a great time traveling around. Tell us really quick about your podcast. Where can people find it? What are they looking for there?
You can go to thebrandyshow.com and navigate your way through the podcast, or jimbrandstetter.com and find the link. Any podcast platform that's your favorite, go look for Conversations with the Brandy Show. That's what it is. And I've got, for instance, this year, for season two anyway, I've done Matt Millen. I've got Mickey Redmond talking about hockey. I just got Greg Kinney talking about the Bentley Museum and all the great Michigan historical artifacts that are there at the Bentley Museum. You can watch episodes of Michigan Replay with myself and Bo Schembechler now.
That's great.
From the Bentley. As a matter of fact, I get Bob Lipson, the producer of Michigan Replay, is on. And Angelique Chengelis, a writer who writes for the Detroit News. Yeah. Jamie Morris is on this season. A couple more I'm working on that before the season gets in. I'll probably start this season in September. And once a week. Right now, and it's more historical, so you can actually go on there a year from now or listen to last year's episode with Jack Harbaugh, and it's still just as good as it was when it was airing.
Awesome. It's great stuff. I implore everybody to check out Jim's show. He does some really, really great stuff. Follow him on the Facebook. He's got, your photography is amazing, Jim. And
it really
thank
is.
You.
And next time,
yes, we try.
Next time you roll through Florida, make a stop in Tampa, or let me know, and I'll find a way to get over to you.
No, if I'm in Tampa, yeah, let's go have lunch or something.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right, Jim, our best to Robbie and everybody. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. You be well, okay?
All right, you as well.
All right. Thanks, Brandy.
Cheers, buddy. All right. Jim Brandsetter.
What a great guy.
What a guy. Since the beginning. He was on Case, what was it, show 7 when we first started?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He made his first appearance before I made my first appearance, which tells you how good he ranks.
Yeah, and he's still coming back, too. What is it about your magnetic personality, birthday boy?
Case has us under his spell.
We thought it was a pretty big deal when we got you on the first time, Jeff. Now it's, you know.
Well, now you just don't care. the novelty is worn off.
I love you.
Yeah, that's... Oh, thank you. It was, just going back to what Brandy talked about, I'll add, my son is going to, he's hoping to play high school football this year. We found out at 4 o'clock last Friday that the season was being canceled. They had practice at 4:30. Our coach here at Zealand East, Derek Pennington, is a friend of mine. Our sons have played basketball together forever. And I walked up and I talked to him and I pulled down my mask so he could tell that it was me. And I said, what are you going to tell these kids? And I was, trying to get his gauge on. And he's like, I'm trying to figure out how I'm not going to cry my eyes out telling them that their dreams are dashed.
Oh, man.
And that really resonated with me. And the fact that you can do so many things, and now apparently you can practice once again. They're going to be allowed 16 full contact practices, but they can't play games. It just doesn't make sense. And that's that. I think Brandy hit at that with what's happening. Michigan did a phenomenal job, the University of Michigan did, in bubbling themselves and isolating. The kids did every single thing that they were asked to do. They did it. They were promised that you do all this and you will get rewarded. And what happened to them? They got a lump of coal in their stocking. That the psychological damage that we have done to these young men when there are no other outlets. You can't go to a gym and lift weights here in Michigan. They're closed. Nope. You can't go to a movie. You can't go on a date right now. You can't eat inside have a dinner outside because it's raining. You still can't eat inside in a lot of places. The culture that we have created for these young men who we want to be leaders and we want to be tough, there's a major danger going on there. I won't say that it's worse than the virus. It's different, but it's certainly very disturbing what we are asking of these young men that we venerate so much and prop up so much. He talked about, the kids who are losing chances to get scholarships. It's a very real opportunity lost for a lot of these people that won't get that chance back. And that's, that's tragic to me.
And I will say you mentioned the young men, young women are suffering as well. I want you to get called out for not mentioning that, but we're specifically a football show. So I just wanted to make sure that,
our kicker is a girl and she kicks ass, honestly.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
Paige. She made a 42 yard field goal last year. She can squat a ridiculous amount of weight. Yeah. It's sad, coming from a volleyball background, our girls volleyball team still can't get into a gym. They're practicing outside on sport court or in a parking lot right now. And you see it all the time. It's frustrating.
And it's one of the things where you try to figure out, which is as leaders, the people in positions of power in the country have to thread a needle, and they're not experts at this. They have a group of people, but none of them are experts. And I think, as flexible as we need to be in our daily life, they're only working with the data that they have and trying to make their decisions too. It's just, I do not envy any single one of the people in their position.
And I can
right
respect
now.
The novelty. It is a novel virus. We haven't been, there's no manual for this. There's no real precedent for this.
Yep.
So I can appreciate that, but I would just say to Governor Whitmer and to the other people that are in charge, show a little consistency across the board. Don't make, why can I get my hair cut and why can I get a lap dance, but I can't, go to church and sing? There's just so many weird idiosyncrasies to the.
Riz is experimenting with all the laws right now, I hear.
Hey, you got to live, baby.
All right. There we go with that. Really appreciate Jimmy Brandsetter.
It was great having Brandy on it and sharing his perspective on what's going on with Michigan and the spring football. He seems very bullish on it.
Yeah. That's good. He's the first person I've heard that's actually bullish on spring football. How do you feel about it, Case?
Well, mostly I'm wondering whether or not we're going to get NFL games on Saturday this fall.
You know, and that's a great point, because Case is always focused on the NFL, where our podcast should be. So let's move on to the COVID Cats trademark list. Everyone's off the reserve list. There's no more COVID Cats. We are all available for playing unless we opted out. And I think the only real major question mark, which I wouldn't even say is a big loss, but the biggest one on the opt out list is Geronimo, right? Geronimo Allison.
Yeah.
As a team, we did pretty well there. I feel lucky. We didn't take the Patriot way on that one. Who are,
thank goodness.
How many guys are they out? Is it six guys?
Eight. Seven? They had eight opt out. Five of them starters.
Yeah.
And they're already dealing with losing Brady and Gronk. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's, be an interesting season. They've been talking about, or Bill Belichick said that, you know, there's a possibility they might use two quarterbacks like in any given game, you know, and that kind of thing going on there. So it'll be a real interesting year to watch.
He said that in a day where Jarrett Stidham threw four interceptions on consecutive drives in practice, and Cam Newton was looking on like, what are we doing here? They're going to be fun to watch. Belichick. I'm not betting against him. I will never bet against Belichick. No. But
Belichick is the guy that'll run two quarterbacks and all of a sudden turn it into the next.
It'll work and everybody'll be doing it.
Yep.
You know, Patricia's trying with the guard rotation. That's not really catching on everywhere else.
Wrong position, man.
Belichick starts rotating the quarterbacks. It works. Everybody's doing it.
Yep. Yep.
It's the new orange is the new black.
There you go. All right. So with that, talking about being sick, don't forget, I'm actually taking mine right now. Your CBD choice, if you're looking for pain relief, insomnia health, or help, any of those kinds of things, any of the effects you can get from CBD.
Anxiety. Do they work on anxiety?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me put it this way, because I don't know if anyone worth listening. I've heard that you could take these before work, take some CBD, and it has no effect. I know it has no effect on how you think and how you react or any of your decision making or anything. But the anxiety that comes with a stressful day at work, it just doesn't get a chance to build. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. They got the oil. I recommend the gummies first, number one, because they're absolutely freaking delicious. I mean, you could sit down on them with like a little thing of Haribo and be all right. But I emptied. This is last month. So it's empty. This was the sour bears. They were delicious. This is now the watermelon ones, and they are also delicious, but they work great. The other thing we talk about is that CBD cream. This is the Lawrence Taylor stuff right here. Check this out. You want to talk about somebody who's been using it?
Yeah.
Thing's almost empty. This stuff is great. It has a nice, pleasant smell. It doesn't smell like anything like Bengay or anything like that. But you rub it on a spot. You want spot treatment. I've been doing some lifting a little bit lately, and this certainly tones down the pain after you put the weights down and try to and sit around for a while and seize up. Good stuff, especially if you're starting workouts, which I really think I'm late to the game on during COVID, but something you should do. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. If you do a subscription for any of their products right now, 75% off. 75% off. They've got a 65% off sale going, and then there's an ongoing sale on the rest of the stuff for 50% off. It's a heck of a deal. Great pricing over there. This giant thing, again, one of these lasted me a month, and I probably went heavier than I should have, because I want to test this for you guys. I really want to test this and make sure we're in good shape. Lasts about a month. It's $36 right now. Really, really good stuff. Good deal. Delicious, and gets right to it. The one thing I heard about the CBD, if you have problems sleeping, and this I know Cases is your area of expertise, this stuff pounds you into regenerative deep sleep really quick and lets you have a longer deep sleep cycle where you regenerate your brain, your muscles, and all those things. Definitely, definitely check it out. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. They give us a kickback. Thank you all for who does that. Joint pain, the whole joint pain, Don, in the chat, I would say use the cream. That's what I've used on my knees as I've done some of this, and it's been absolutely spectacular. I've had some muscle pain in the back because some of the exercises I've been doing with the weights as well, and my wife will rub it in. And to her benefit, no massage required, right? You just have to rub it in. So she's like, okay, I'll do it. I'm not sitting here for half hour not to listen to you moan in pleasure. Those days are over.
Oh, that happens.
All right, let's keep going.
Yes, please.
We've got a little segment here called Lions Tales. Training camp stories so far. How about that? You get the idea. Tails. It's like a double entendre. And French. Do we do it all on this show? Hello? All right. Let's start off with Jeff Okuda. Started out camp a couple days ago with pads and was not looking spectacular out there. I believe it was Kyle Meinke, and I want to credit all the guys we can, because there's only a couple guys there that are actually there that are able to report stuff out. So there's a couple I have today where I don't have credit. They were Reddit posts, and they didn't have credit. So if you guys can comment.
We've got news from Chris and Tim. Chris Berkey and Tim Twentyman.
Yep.
From training camp today. So.
Yep. Yeah. If any of this we do and we don't source it, please in the comments just put the source in there. We want to make sure that we're not those guys that try to report this as if it was ours or we were there. We don't misrepresent this stuff at all. So please, if there's anything we missed in there, please make sure we get in there. Right. And get those guys what they get. Chris Burke is doing a great job. Twentyman is doing his Lions job, right? Meinke's been doing an absolutely fabulous job.
Yeah. Good. Rogers is there every day. Yeah. Burkett is there every day. Ben Raven from M Live will be there this weekend while Meinke's out of town. Eric Schlitt from Lions Wire will be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Jeremy Reisman has been there from Pride of Detroit most days so far. And that's pretty much it from the people who are writing things out. There are radio and television guys who are in and out throughout the time, but the guys that we just listed off, that's essentially who is there. Yep. And I'm in on the Zooms. I should say I can be in on the Zooms. I get invited to all of them. I don't always have time to do it because I'm also covering the Browns ones, and I'm the only one there. But in general, that's the guys that you need to be looking at for camp reports.
And here, we'll amalgamate it for you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who are doing a very good job of poring over the notes and, you know, saying, okay, well, this person said this and this person said this, and that's great. As long as you're attributing it, that's awesome. I just don't like people who misrepresent that they're there.
Yeah, or act like it. Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah.
So with that, let's start out. We got some stuff. Again, this was Burke, I believe. This is Meinke. Sorry. Jeff Okuda wasn't looking spectacular after the first couple of days. A couple of slips. Just recently, and so after he slipped, sorry, there's a couple pieces that I'm piecing together here. After he had those slip ups, I want to talk specifically about what we saw from some of our offensive guys who they were playing against, because he was playing against Kenny Galladay. Galladay, after practice, said that he and Marvin Jones told Okuda specifically, come up here, get some work with us, come up, get some competition like you see on Sunday. That's going to be huge for Okuda. And for the guys, the offensive guys, to show up and do that for him, just that's what a welcome, right? What a great way.
It's like simultaneously challenging him and encouraging him. And that seems like exactly what he needs. Look, he's a cornerback. He's going to get beat. That happens. The best cornerbacks get beat as a rookie. He's not going to be perfect, folks. And I think that some of the reaction that I've seen in the subreddit is, oh my God, he fell down on a route. Well, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, that's football.
Especially after no training for 107
right.
months.
The key is to be resilient, to get back at it, to have the short memory that you need. And so far, it sounds like he's getting better day by day. I know some of the notes that I read, we're recording this on Thursday, and I've looked over what Burke wrote. Justin Rogers had a couple things up today. It sounds like he had a better day today, and that's encouraging, that he can build off of and build on and keep having good days. So he's ready, because he is going to start, folks. He might not be on the depth chart right now with the ones. He will be starting on September 13th.
Yep.
Make no mistake about that.
Yep. All right. And then, so at the same time, the guys that he's working against are doing well against the other guys as well. They're beating up Trufant and I can't remember his name.
Oruwariye.
Coleman. Oruwariye is out there. Yep. So it's not like Okuda's out there just the only one getting beat up. So let's not take it out of context. We got, and I don't have attribution for this one. It was posted by Quirky Suzuki in the Reddit. Jones Galladay team remains elite. Stafford connected with the former on 7-on-7 work on a deep shot up the seam versus Trufant. Trufant was right in Jones' hip pocket, and Jones went up one-handed grab, boom, turn up.
Marvin does. That's why we love Marvin.
Yep. Same thing.
Stafford and Galladay. It's. I mean, that's what they're built for. Those are the.
Yep.
That's what they do best, and we're going to keep seeing it.
Yep. So. And Galladay beat Coleman out. Same thing. Today, in the most recent practice, we saw that it was Quintez Cephas giving Okuda some a hard time. And I'll tell you, I'm actually glad to see that, because before I poison the well, Case, if you have to say, oh my gosh, we were looking at Cephas, and he's giving Okuda a hard time, how do you feel about that? What does that make you think if you were to speculate?
I mean, I generally think the offensive players have an advantage early in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't bother me, but I know for a lot of people that would be a panic button, moment. So.
Yep, for sure. Riz, what's your thoughts?
I'm not panicking. It's we're missing preseason. I think more than anything else, I miss preseason because it's a chance to see these guys in real game action.
Mm-hmm.
And I think teams that are heavily dependent on rookies in key situations, and the Lions are certainly one of them, are going to struggle early because they're not ready. They can't be ready. No matter how much you try to hit in practice, no matter how much you're trying to prepare them, you do have to worry about the concept of an injury coming up. The Cleveland Browns just lost their starting slot corner to a lacerated liver from a practice injury. You can't have that in Detroit. We just don't have that kind of depth. So I expect Okuda to start a little slow. I expect Swift to start a little slow. Cephas, probably not as much, because I think where he's playing, it's pretty easy for him to transition. But, with Jonah Jackson, who looks like he's going to be a starter, and we'll get into that in a second. Having rookies starting in key positions will be a tough way to go. The good thing is that everybody is in the same boat. It's not just the Lions who are going to be in that. I mean, the Bengals are starting a rookie quarterback, and they're also starting a left tackle who didn't play football last year. So they could be a lot more challenging than what we're going through.
Yep. I'm going to tell you where my thought is I feel really, really good about Cephas as a fifth round pick, playing well and hard against our first round in Okuda. Not because I think Okuda's a bad player, but and as we heard, he had trouble against Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay. He had a couple of plays there. But playing against Cephas, if Cephas is giving him problems, that makes me feel better about Cephas more than it makes me feel bad about Jeff Okuda. Casey alluded exactly to the point that the offense has it a little earlier. Than the defense does, but it just makes me feel a lot better about the Cephas pick, because that's a guy that a lot of people were down on and that I still think is a little bit of a question mark for a lot of people. So just seeing this early, Riz is the one. Seeing him do well there makes me feel better. It gives me a data point to work from. If he was the only guy getting crushed by Okuda, then I'd start being real nervous real quick.
It's hard not to like a lot of the things we're hearing about the offense. Kerryon and Swift both getting praise, Hawk getting praise, especially worrisome with Kerryon and Hawk just because of, we're always nervous about their injury status. And then Agnew, Burke mentioned today that Agnew had a deep grab in 7-on-7s.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. So he's having a guy that can move over like that. We'll see how he does as far as in the depth charts and if he makes it, right? He's obviously kind of bubble.
Yeah. But 20 Men has hyped him up too. And Tim works for the Lions. That always has to be the disclaimer.
Yeah.
They don't tell him what to say. Mm-hmm. They can limit how far he goes on something, but he has been consistently praising how well Agnew is making the transition. And Matt Patricia talked about it in this press conference. I think it was Wednesday. He got asked about, is it an advantage that he understands how to play it from the other side? And Patricia, in his typical long-winded answer, said, yes. Yes, it is.
250 word. He could have written that yes into an article, couldn't he, for Lions?
347 words to break down his punting battle today. That was unbelievable. 2 minutes and 12 seconds. I timed it.
That's awesome.
To basically say that he doesn't know who's ahead yet.
All right, so we're getting a lot of high praise. Ragnow is getting praise as well from Lomas Brown. Said he's out there looking really good. That's awesome. But
Jonah's been getting praise.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I want to talk about him in depth after we go into the running backs, though. Swift, looking very good out there. But Kerryon getting the starts, getting the most reps out there, right? Let's talk about it. We added Williams, Riz. What is this depth chart? What does this depth chart look like for the Detroit Lions?
And that's the million-dollar question. They're going to let Kerryon start because he's earned it as a veteran. That's a Patriot Way thing. But you are going to see a fairly even split, I think, between Kerryon and DeAndre Swift early in the season. And Scarborough played well last year. I don't think people appreciate how good he was at maximizing the yards that were blocked for him. Mm-hmm. He's good at that. Ty Johnson did a very good job at that, too. Oh, by the way, he ran better than Kerryon Johnson last year before Kerryon even got hurt. Ty, I think, had the highest run yards per carry on the team. He certainly beat Kerryon's thing and has showed better vision than Kerryon. Now they added in Jonathan Williams, a guy who ran for 100 yards 2 weeks in a row, like coming from out of nowhere for a Colts team. Now the Colts offensive line is going to get after you. And they will clear open some holes, but he showed that he can get through it. They are loaded right now. And if you look, there's five guys there. If they're keeping a fullback, and it sure seems like Bowden or Isaac Nauta or they cut Luke Sellers today, so he's out of the picture. But although Jason Kabinda was the fullback today in practice and apparently did okay.
I heard he did really, really well.
That's interesting. That's a wrinkle that we're going to have to dive into. But yet, they're only keeping four running backs. And none of them are return men. You know, we thought last year that maybe Ty Johnson would morph into that role, but he hasn't ever really shown any ability to do that. So one of those guys is going to be gone. Who's it going to be? I think a lot has to do with health. If Kerryon's healthy, he's making the team. But if they're worried about his health, you can see DeAndre move up. You can see Bo move up. You can see Ty Johnson move up. And
we mentioned Huntley.
Huntley's going to be an interesting one because I think with the expanded practice squad rules, he's going there unless he's playing slot receiver.
Yeah.
And in that case, he would be not battling against Ty Johnson for the job, which is something that Bob Quinn's flat out stated was going to be the case. Yes, they are competing for the same job. He would then be competing with Jamal Agnew for the job. And so if he's not winning that or the return job, I don't think he's making the team. I don't think there's a spot for him. And I think the Williams, I had this conversation behind the scenes with Eric Schlitt. We talked about it quite a bit. Does Williams indicate that they're moving Huntley? And Eric will not commit unless he knows something. That's what I love about him, is that he will not get caught up into the hypothetical discussion about that. But he's like, yes, I can see why you would believe that. And I will go with that. And Huntley, again, as a running back, he's sort of like Theo Riddick. But as a receiver, he's also like Theo Riddick. And what do we love about Theo Riddick? He can go out in the slot and catch passes, make people look stupid in space. That's his role in the team. If other people are ahead of him, that's kind of a minor role. Don't be upset or surprised if he doesn't make the initial 53-man roster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about in a slot kind of? You see him any kind of in a slot role possibly?
I hope so. Yeah. Personally, yeah. I haven't seen anything from camp that would indicate that he can or can't do that, but.
That might be how he makes the 53, right? I mean, if he can step up there, because other than, I mean, look, Amendola's great, but behind Amendola, what do you have? Cephas, right?
You've got Cephas, and you've got Tom Kennedy, who is a special teamer, lacrosse player.
Which gives him
lacrosse, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or rugby, one or the other.
I think it was lacrosse.
Yeah.
Which gives him a leg up, being able to do the special teams thing. So we'll see. A lot of interesting things coming out. It's nice to have a training camp with this kind of talent fighting for positions, right? It's happened years after years, but for so long we had guys that nobody wanted that we casted away, and now we're looking at running back. How deep is that? Swift, I heard he was just chewing through linebackers in the one-on-one drills, just making them look bad. Not just Jared, all of them, right? And there was one I saw, it just came from 20 Men today, where Jared Davis popped Swift pretty good. And
oh, it was Huntley.
Yeah, it was Huntley.
Yeah. You're right. I don't have blitz pickup. And they got to do it again. And after the D was all hyped up, Huntley got to kind of put some meat into Jared and got the offense worked up. So he's got heart. That's what we want to see. All right. Let's talk about this kid, Jonah Jackson. no opportunity for this guy to make the team, right? I mean, he's absolutely looking like a fool out there. There's just no chance. This is a mistake. Quinn can't draft. What else can I say? I think I've covered the whole thing. Case, you wanna go deep on this and tell me how right I am?
No, I coming out of the draft, it seemed like everybody was a lot more excited about our other guard pick than they were about Jonah Jackson. And it's kind of nice to see what looks to be like the team being proved right about where they took which guy, and that Jonah looks like he's probably an immediate plug-and-play starter for us. Then where is – what's his name, the other one? I keep forgetting.
Logan Stenberger.
Stenberger. Whereas he's probably a bit more of a project type guy. Mm-hmm. And Jonah Jackson will immediately step in and be probably an upgrade to our run blocking. It's his pass blocking, which causes some concern, but less concern maybe than some people have made it out to be. So.
Interesting.
He's been running with the ones multiple days in a row after Patricia said that, it was just his turn in the rotation.
Yeah. The sense was that Stenberg was going to go out there and be chewing on people's femurs like a rabid pit bull, right? And to see to see Jackson come in and take a spot and really do that, that's good. Because, if I'm going to have a guy that's I don't want to say second tier, or but a guy that's working his way into the rotation, is working hard, I want a guy with the grit and the toughness and determination of a Logan Jackson, right? Or Logan Stenberg, Jesus.
Right. Stenberg, because Bo Benschawel had been out, he returned today. Yes, Stenberg was getting the second team center reps, and by all accounts, it didn't look good. He's not a center. I think that's been made pretty clear. Joe Dahl will be your backup center, so it would be a case of Dahl moving into center and then somebody else moving into left guard, either Stenberg or Ode Yabushi or Kenny Wiggins or somebody in the rotation like that.
Well, that's not an issue we need to deal with.
Yeah, yes, that would...
There may be
we need Frank Ragnow to be at his best. The one game that he missed last year, they moved Glasgow back there, and Glasgow actually played pretty well then. But the guard play in that game, I'm trying to think which game that was, but I remember noting that Joe Dahl's worst game was when Glasgow was at center and not Ragnow. Yeah. It made a big difference to the guards, and that's something that we've seen. We've been lucky. We've had fairly stable center play here. But teams that turn over the centers all the time, it's really tough on the guards to get into any sort of rhythm. And he's the guy who's calling out your protections and everything.
Yep. All right, let's get to the injury reports. But first, fantasy football is on the menu. Fantasy football, get in there. Fantasy.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Sign up. You play against Case, Riz, myself, all the faves. You got a chance to win big money. The first four finishers in all the leagues, in each league will be no more than 12 players, will win prizes, including... fourth place is t-shirts, but it's all money for the guys above that. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year, so please get in there, get signed up. Fantasy football, fantasy.detroitlionspodcast.com. We got a great time, and we've got, you guys have seen the new show starting graphics on the show and the ender graphics and all that stuff. I've got a really, really cool breakdown for the leagues and the standings and stuff this year. So get your name in lights, get in there, have fun, come up with a creative team name, because we'll love those as well, and those will be great on the show. Fantasy.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Come in, have some fun, join us, and help us raise the money that carries us through the year. All right, injury reports. First out, Joshon Cornell, draft pick number 7, carted off. Patricia said it was bad today, didn't he, Jeff?
He is now on injured reserve, so his season is officially over.
Lower leg, pretty big deal.
It sounds like he, and I don't want to say exactly what it was, because I was told this in confidence, but it sounds like he broke both bones in the lower leg. which you don't want to hear about. It was bad. It was one of those where the guys who were around were like, trainers, get the hell out here now, as it happened. That's very unfortunate. He was fighting to be the Kevin Strong of this year. It makes Kevin Strong's job a little bit more secure. But it's an area where the Lions do not have depth at all. With John Atkins opting out, that was a role that was going to be there. And by the way, Atkins played really well in the stretch of games from week 12 to 14 last year. And I'm bummed that I'm not going to get to see him play, because he really showed me something in those games. And that's frustrating. He's out. So now there's an opportunity for somebody else to step up. And who in the world will that be? Who knows? Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Probably running around with Case's pants, because he's got none on his birthday, right? All right. Let's get going. Kenny Wiggins. I heard he was hurt, and I haven't seen any follow-up on it. I just saw it fly by in a tweet. Have you heard anything about that, Case or Riz?
No, I haven't.
I heard he was walking either. into the facility, and the comment was, again, this can be attributed to somebody who I don't remember, and I apologize. It's not the CBD. It's all my life before that. It's because of that. I don't remember, but they said, we were hoping to get
a quick little search here.
A full season out of him.
I will say that teams are being very careful with these soft tissue injuries. They're being overly protective of that. So that's something to keep in mind. They don't want to see these guys get hurt. It is a big deal. So I'm not seeing where he got hurt or anything, but
okay, we'll keep an eye on that.
Things are going to be happening a lot. You're going to see guys, I'm not 100% today with the hammy. Okay, sit. We're not testing you. Sit. Yep. We need you. Yep.
All right. Last bit of thing we want to cover before Case goes off and gets inevitably tanked and abused by the women in his life. We want to look at the NFC North. Two different outlets have the 9-7 winning the division. And with that comes the question, and this is a great question posed by the Riz as we set this up. I got to give all attribution where possible. Does that mean 7-9 would save Quintricia? It's a great question, right? Because everyone says playoffs are bust. You got a 9-7 division winning the division. Boy, that makes it really, really tough, because there's all kinds of factors at play now, right?
What if the Packers go 9-7 FTP, and the Vikings and the Lions are tied at 7-9, and the Bears wind up 4-12? And I can absolutely see it playing out that way. By the way, is that good enough to keep Quintricia in place? That's a variable, man. And I don't know how Mrs. Ford, the new Mrs. Ford, Sheila Ford Hamp, feels about that. And that's not something that's been asked of Quinn or Patricia. I think it's an appropriate question to be asked at this point. But let's just open enough to find that out. Let's hope that the Lions do better than that. Let's hope that the Packers do worse than that, because that would be really nice.
Alder Shrew, Jim Young, Matt Leffler, got to give him props for the FTP in the chat. Doing the shout out to the Riz.
Hey, you got to do that, man.
What are your thoughts?
And I'll say this. I was looking at I'll give Zach Cruz from Packers Wire a little bit of credit. He's a good dude. I used to work with him at Bleacher Report when I covered the Lions there. He wrote today that they are struggling to find people to start around Christian Kirksey at linebacker. I will tell you that Christian Kirksey is not a good starting linebacker from covering him in Cleveland. He is Jared Davis with a little less speed. That's their linebacking core. That's their best linebacker. So they have problems in Green Bay too. I know they went 13-3 last year. They ain't going 13-3 again.
Well, and I think you could easily see the Vikings offensive line doom their season to a 9-7 ceiling as well. If there's a lot of concern that the rumored rollout of guys they've got is not a good one. So yeah,
they don't have depth, and look at the defensive losses that they've had. Both of their starting corners from last year are elsewhere. Everson Griffin is now, where'd he go, Dallas?
Yeah.
That's a huge loss. I've got to get this in here, because basically you guys are taking us
around the division.
Don't fuck around.
got that in the chat. Had a big request for the around the region, so had that. Okay,
just blue case is mine.
Give me a headache.
Okay, Everson Griffin gone is a big deal for them. I just think yes. You're right about the offensive line case. I think there's some real questions in Minnesota right now, and the impact may be greater than we thought. They are relying on a lot of good draft picks. No question, they had a great draft to step up. But that's a lot of eggs to put in a basket, and eggs are fragile. I just want to read.
And Don, I don't think that if they don't work it out with Dalvin, I think he'll play this year. I don't think he'll hold out. There's the way the new CBA is set up. Holding out is it makes it nearly impossible for players.
Yes, yes, it does.
Yep.
I don't think you're going to see any holdouts. Not going to see Yannick Ngakoue get traded. That was made abundantly clear in Jacksonville earlier today. So you can get that pipe dream out of your head.
Steve. The one thing you can probably picture Dalvin Cook holding is a knee, though, right? Let's face it. The guy has a hard time staying healthy. And I wouldn't have faith in him as a coach and a team to stay healthy for an entire season. I mean, we could talk that way about Kerryon, or about his health and ability to play for a full 16. I think you can do the same thing for Cook. I mean, he's been injured a great deal, missed a lot of football. He's a great running back.
I sent you a joke, didn't I, the other day about Dalvin Cook. It was like something about not having a leg to stand on.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah, we didn't do one at the beginning of the show today, so we at least we snuck it in here. That was a good one. Thanks, Case, for reminding. All right, so let me ask one more question. Well, Case, what do you think? I mean, what does the record have to look like for Quintricia to remain?
I anything 8-8 or better, and I'd feel very confident in them sticking around. Mm-hmm. Playoffs, no playoffs. Anything better, I would say it's a guarantee. Mm-hmm. Playoffs, no playoffs. Doesn't matter if they go 9-7 and miss the playoffs. I still think that is a suitable amount of improvement for.
That's a 6-game turnaround. Ownership. That's pretty good.
Yeah. 7-9 is super questionable. And it would really depend on how they got there and how much dysfunction was involved in getting there. Whether it's clear they lose the locker room or whether it's just some bad luck. Because I mean, you can look at last year, and the Lions had plenty of bad luck. And I'm not saying they weren't outplayed in most of the games they lost at all, but they were so close in so many of those games. It wasn't as bad a record as it looks. I mean, you know, technically speaking, in the standings, of course, it is exactly where it is. But from a point differential, from a how many close games they lost, how many minor things, tiny little things could have gone the other way that could have affected them and given them another 3 or 4 or 5 wins, even with Stafford going out. It was a better record than it looks like from a subjective point of view. So 7-9 is like, how did they get there? How did the ball bounce? Mm-hmm. You know, anything worse than 7-9, I think you really run the risk of losing losing the respect of the players if they keep the coach around, losing a lot of
I think
clout that's in the NFL, like we aren't already, you know, laughed at. That would be like, that's, holy crap.
Yeah, your point there is very well taken. Remember, this is a team that fired Jim Caldwell when he was 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
That's but the that difference would, that would be a very tough move to justify keeping him at 6-10 or
difference
even at 7-9 though. Case, I think you're right. I do think the path to 7-9 matters more than the 7-9 itself.
Mm-hmm. I think the case is we've worked our way up to 9-7 where we worked our way down to 9-7 with Caldwell. But yeah, right. The 7-9 piece is a total push. It really is, as you said, completely dependent on how we got there. I think 8-8 and up, I completely agree with them sticking around at 8-8 and above. And I think especially with everything else that's going on, comparing that and looking at that compared to last year's record, I see no real reason for the Fords to move on that, especially with the amount of time that Patricia's had. Now, you know, next year, if they're an 8-8 team and they hold on to a more 7-9 team, they are absolutely on the seat. I mean, you know,
I don't think that would be good enough, honestly. I think at that point, you're in your fourth year. Yeah. It's time to win in the postseason. Period.
They're sitting there on the on what's that meme? The guy with the noose around his neck turned over first time, right? I mean, that's where they're at that point. So I got that. One last thing. If something were to happen, the record wouldn't turn around this year. And this is a difficult question, but this is the one I think is important for the people who pound the table right now and say, get rid of them, fire them, no matter how the season turns out. They're terrible. Who do you replace them with? Who would you eye as your GM? Because that's the first person you have to hire.
As GM, not John Dorsey.
Yeah, it's a tough question right now. Because we don't know who would be available. We don't know.
Well, none of the good ones are ever available, right?
Not Bill O'Brien.
What?
Not Nagy.
God, no.
This is the problem. None of the good GMs are ever available. You've got to find one, which is
you got to find young guys. There is a guy that the Browns hired from San Francisco, and his name is tough enough to pronounce it. I'm not going to butcher it. He is of Indian descent or African descent. African. And I can't. His name is just slipping on me, and I've written about him, and I can see the picture of him in my head, and it's right there. He is a young guy who's an analytical guy. He played football. Very smart guy, very well respected coming out of San Francisco. It was seen as a big coup. He's a rising star. There's the underling in Seattle to John Schneider, and I can't think of what his name is either. I'm spacing on it. But those are your usual suspects. Mm-hmm. I would tend to think, though, that with a new ownership group, they're going to be able to do kind of whatever they want. So we may be looking at, you know, hey, Nick Saban, Alabama's not doing well. You want to come up here and run the Lions for a couple of years? You know, all options would be on the table. It's really early to know that yet.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I don't think it will be anybody from a Patriot background, though. Say that.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. It's just that's the one thing. The people that are pounding their hand on the table today, I just want to know who's your guy then? Because it's easy to just say fire him, right, and react and say fire him. And then they go and be successful anyway. That can't be your you know,
judgment. That's what I say all the time for the people that want the force to sell it. Sell the team. Okay, who's going to buy it?
Right.
Who are you going to have buy it? You want Dan Gilbert to buy him? No, because
that's who's going
to
buy him.
You really don't.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's it. Don't forget about us on fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com, amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. Whenever you do any of those things, please go to those places. They give us a kickback on your sale. It doesn't cost you any more. It keeps the money out of the hands of the man and powers this podcast and gives, oh my gosh, Case the happiest birthday he's ever had. Happy birthday, Case. No one sang for you. I'm not going.
Yeah, to, no, that's okay. But no, I do appreciate all the well wishes in the YouTube comments. So thanks, guys.
Here, I got a happy birthday song for you. There you go, my friend. Happy birthday. All right. With that bombshell, we are going to call it a week. Remember, the show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the suburb to give us your feedback. We appreciate everything you help us do to make this a better show. And it is the community show, so you have a responsibility to do just that. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. It's how you get financial ownership. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Toss a couple bucks at us. As little as $1 a month in donations gets you access to the Slack chat, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, and on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast. Give us a follow at DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see the case man
blowing out the candles.
With no pants on. All right, give us a call via Skype.
It's a strong breeze, man.
Yeah, melting the frosting. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Also, be sure to go to Detroit Lions Podcast and subscribe to the podcast so we can show up in your ear holes all looped up automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, and no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time.